T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Johnson in for Richie today, 94 WIP. The Alec Baum news, that he's going to be a Phil up to the big league club. We'll get to that in a second. Here's another piece of Phillies news. Phillies announcing just a short time ago that the legendary slugger Dick Allen, the Phillies are going to retire uniform number 15.
Wow.
In honor of the great Dick Allen.
That's a big deal for them. They don't retire anybody's number unless they're in the Hall of Fame, yeah. Which he should be, but he's not.
He should be in the Hall. I agree with you. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know many believe he should be. He hasn't been, and he's 78 years old. Obviously had many go-rounds to have a shot at the Hall.
He's not getting in the Hall. I mean, unless the veterans, you
exactly.
never know.
You yeah. never know.
Or when, whatever
you know.
They call it now.
I mean, Harold Carmichael got in.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And in baseball, that can happen.
40 years after he retired. But it is a change of policy.
No question.
From the Phils. You know, because, I mean, look, I remember growing up, I'd be at a Phillies game, and for a long while, it was just, what, it was just Robin Roberts, and it was just, who am I missing here?
Bunning?
No, because Bunning didn't even get into
Bunning
the
90s. Bunning got later, yeah.
Yeah, well, bottom line is, at some point, there was
a Chuck flurry. Klein. Well, Chuck Klein doesn't have a number, but it's retired.
I think that's whatever it was that left field, I think, or something, down at the Vet. But then you had a flurry of, you know, you had Schmitty get in, you had Carlton get in, you had Bunning get in. Mm. So then they were out there. And, of course, we've all wondered, what happens with Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, and Cole Hamels?
Especially after Halladay, too, who's granted a Hall of Famer but wasn't here nearly as long
not
as
here,
those guys.
Yeah, and so this certainly, I would think.
I think they're all in.
Creates the pathway that they all get in.
Yeah.
And listen, maybe the Phillies felt, hey, if we're going to put Jimmy in, Chase in, Ryan Howard in, and Cole Hamels in, retired. Not like in a Wall of Fame, retired, which is possible. Retire those numbers. Maybe they then feel, okay, well, then we've got to, then if we're going to break policy, then let's have Dick Allen's number retired right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, who knows the backroom mechanics that went in? I would think it's some combination of all that stuff. But congratulations to the great Dick Allen, the Phillies honoring him with, from their standpoint, well, I guess maybe short of a statue outside the ballpark, kind of like the biggest honor you can have, you know, retiring his number.
I think retiring the number is the biggest honor for a team.
I mean, let's put your number again.
I
think
mean,
of it this way.
It's a big deal.
It's rare that a guy has a statue without being retired.
Well, yeah,
Nick Foles
sure.
being an example. But
yeah, for sure.
I mean, think about it. Who else in Philadelphia sports has a statue that's not retired?
No, it's a great point. None. Zero.
So, anyway. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk. And by the way, the Joe Girardi interview with Angela from this morning in its entirety, you'll hear it coming up at 12:45 today. So be tuned for that. Back to the phones we go. Joe in Merchantville. What's up, Joe?
Hello. Hey. First of all, John, condolences regarding your uncle.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
And I think I have a real simple solution for the bullpen. We just go old school, and the starters just go 9 like they used to go.
Well, it's either that or trade them in like a bunch of Scrabble pieces and hope for 7 others.
I have never seen, honestly, I mean, I can't recall ever seeing a bullpen, albeit 13 games, this bad, this unreliable.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, the only one who seems to be reliable at all is Hector Neris. And you know, nobody's going to be 100%, but everybody else, you just kind of go, uh-oh.
Well, there's no question. And even the guys that you didn't feel locked in great with, but guys you hoped you could count on, like Morgan and
– right.
And like Tommy Hunter. Now, some people disagree with me on Tommy Hunter. I felt like you could, you know, sort of count on him. And those guys have let him down. So it's really been a disaster, Joe.
Yep. And the movie I came up with was Paul Newman, The Verdict.
The Verdict.
Ooh,
yeah.
The Verdict.
Another big time movie.
I've never seen that.
Joe, appreciate
that. Oh,
you
got to watch
The
Verdict.
Yeah.
It's a great, great movie.
All right, let's go to Brady in South Jersey. Hey, Brady.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
It's all good.
Man, I'm excited about this hockey team, man. These Flyers, man, dude. We got a contender, I'm telling you.
Well, big time. I mean, more than a contender, a cup contender. I mean, a club.
Cup
can,
favorite, one of the favorites.
Yeah, it can go all the way. I mean, Brady, they weren't quite as clinically efficient last night as they had been in the prior three games that they counted for seeding. I would say it wasn't quite the same standard of just efficiency and a little bit of sloppiness at times, defensive breakdowns, passing not quite as sharp, but they still won.
Remember, Montreal, too, I believe they have like the second most shots of any team in the NHL. They're very fast. They're pesky. It doesn't always have to be clean. And, again, it's all about matchups in the NHL. Like, and you hear that saying, especially in the NHL, any team can win it if you get a hot goaltender and a team that gels at the right time.
Yeah, but listen,
also,
I mean, the reality is –
Also, too, what I saw, I mean, for me at least, was, you know, the first period they played pretty good. And then, you know, obviously the Canadiens – especially in hockey, there's always going to be ebbs and flows.
Yep.
And also, too, what I see from the Flyers more so than, you know, any of the other teams in the city right now is that, you know, Vigneault is a terrific coach.
No
I
question.
Saw you, yeah. You see, like, when, you know, when you watch the Sixers, I feel like Brett Brown, you don't see him. Like, you can't see any of the adjustments made. They're just going to do the same dumb crap the entire game. While Vigneault, you know, obviously the second period wasn't their best, but you could tell that, you know, in between periods, Vigneault probably lit a little bit of a fire under them. And they come out in the third period, and they came out, you know, went much better, you know, making better decisions
yep.
with the puck.
Yep.
And it was just, you could tell. You could tell. And also, too, what was good was, you know, obviously you're not going to be able to play, you know, every single period at your best. And with Carter Hart, obviously, what's your job as a goalie? You got to keep your guy, you got to keep the team in the game, and that's what he did.
No
and
question.
And you know what, especially,
no.
especially in playoff hockey, as long as, you know, the goalie's playing well and, you know, you deal with the ebbs and the flows, I think they're going to be great.
I agree. All right, Brady, give me a movie with "the" in the title. A great one.
I'm going to go with an old school baseball movie, The Natural.
It's a great answer.
Oh,
that was the one
very
Joe was
good one
at the top of the show.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's it, John. That and Rocky, my two favorites of all time.
Joe, correct me if I'm wrong here. Something that... maybe it's a see if you feel the same way.
Okay.
The Phillies have been incredibly exhausting to the point where even when they take a lead in a game, it's so difficult to get excited because you're waiting for the letdown of the bullpen. Therefore, I kind of stare at the screen and or listen on the radio with a very blank, emotionless face. The 76ers with such high expectations have been so disappointing that I'm waiting for the inevitable. Therefore, I can't get excited. Which is making the Flyers all the more endearing and exciting than ever before.
100% true. The Flyers' wave is at a higher crest because of the struggles of the other two teams playing right now. And also, by extension, the lack of buzz of an Eagles training camp that normally would have sensational buzz that has, let's be real, zero buzz. Because there's no footage, no practices, case in point, I don't know how many people know this. The Philadelphia Eagles were scheduled to play their first preseason game today. This was it.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I had no idea.
This was a day when we would have been in here and it would – now, I'm not saying all about, because we would have talked about the Flyers' great win last night. We would have talked about the Phillies' struggles. And we would touch on the 76ers. Had more happened yesterday, we would talk more about it. Not a ton happened. We know the drill. They're going to play the Celtics, and we'll get to that as we move forward, okay, like tomorrow. But the reality is this is a day where we would have right out of the gate talked about who we're excited to see tonight with the Eagles. Oh, I can't wait to see, and then pick your guys.
Position battles.
Right?
Who's fighting for a roster spot? All that.
Like, I'll give you one that would have come to my mind. I want to see, does J.J. Arcega-Whiteside look like he's – no, but for real, does he actually have something?
Yeah.
Can he run the right routes?
Yeah, like, you know, can he catch the ball? Can he look like he knows what he's doing? Like,
I want to see who's going to win that job. Is it Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, or Vontae Maddox? Who's starting on the outside?
Totally. We would have said, hey, linebackers, huge question mark. who's going to emerge?
Let's see how Andre Dillard looks.
Absolutely.
I'm with you, Joe. You guys
are depressing me right. so much.
But, I hear you, John. But the flip side is it provides a unique window for the Philadelphia Flyers at their highest point since, God, at least 2012, probably 2010, mm-hmm. frankly.
Yeah.
To ride a wave at a time in Philadelphia sports where they're the show, and that's all. And I'm happy for them for that. I'm happy for them because, you know, they did get submerged a lot in the last 10, frankly, 20 years. A lot of fans kind of moved away and around a little bit off them, and so I think your point is dead on. There's no doubt about it. 215-592-9494. All right. Phillies news, as we said, as James said about 20 minutes ago, the news, Alec Baum called up. By the Phils, and we'll be joining the club. What is it, a 28-man roster, James? Is that what we're at this point?
Correct.
All right. Do we know who's out?
They haven't announced.
They have not. So the team hasn't announced it. Just all the beats. So we'll find out.
You think it's going to be a relief pitcher or one of the backup position players?
Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if it was like a phantom IL thing for Kingery or something like that. Seriously. I mean, right? I mean, would you be shocked if they say, oh, Scott's got this or whatever? I think it could be something like that where they transfer someone to the injured list been underperforming. Right. But so I don't know how you send any of the – I mean, the bench guys have all been really good.
Yeah,
you know?
Bench guys haven't been the problem.
Like, get rid of Austin Davis or something.
Maybe. All right, so let's just say a guy like Kingery is not phantom injured. All right. And you have all of your position players, the starters and the – regular backups, because they do kind of rotate guys in and out. Haseley and Quinn platoon, essentially, and you know, Jay Bruce sometimes is out there, sometimes he's not. Gosselin sometimes is out there, sometimes he's not. John and James, the impact of Baum. Now, let's get to this. This is in a time, I mean, it's worked out well for him, meaning where can he play? He can play third, he can play first.
Mm-hmm.
Third baseman struggling, first baseman struggling. You also have a scenario where the second baseman struggling.
And the current third baseman can play second base.
And the current third baseman can second play. And by the way, you also have, I would say, the right-handed hitting center fielder struggling. That's Roman Quinn, knowing that the struggling second baseman also can play center field.
Yep.
That's Scott Kingery. So I guess the question, John, I'd ask you and James, and we'll get into it at 215-592-9494, is what do you think Baum's role becomes? How often does he play? And who doesn't play?
That's a really – I mean, I think Kingery's back in the lineup today. I don't think they're going to have him sit another game, barring an actual injury. I think this is a Hoskins sit day. And I think even though you want Alec Baum to be your long-term third baseman, I think he's going to play first base tonight.
I don't, and I'll tell you why. That's an aggressive move. With a guy in Hoskins who's seen as a linchpin, maybe he won't deserve to be much longer, comparative to Segura, who, let's be real about Segura, he's a guy passing through Philadelphia. I know he's under contract for a little bit more time, but the idea wasn't Gene Segura 2025, part of a club when they're trying to make the playoffs for the third straight year. Mm-hmm. Hoskins was supposed to be. So would they out of the gate say, all right, Hoskins bench, the kid's in, And like, do they do that? I don't know. Maybe they do. James, what do you make of it?
I actually, to your point, I actually think there's another reason for that. It's that Alec Baum hasn't played a lot of first base.
Right.
I know they've thrown a mitt at him and done some stuff, but he, you know, I think if you're bringing this kid up and playing him his very first Major League Baseball game, you're probably putting him at the position that he's most comfortable at. So I think it's more likely they sit Segura tonight or sit Kingery and move right. Segura over to second or something like that. But to Johnson's point, if Hoskins doesn't start hitting, I could absolutely see them giving Baum work at first and making sure he could play that position and saying, all right, we're going to play you at first till Hoskins can figure it out, because that is on the table.
Well, listen, positionally speaking, they have a ton of options.
They do.
It doesn't mean
nobody's hitting. They got a ton of them.
Right. And
well, that's, again, to the point before, that's the problem is a lot of the guys who are hitting are the guys who aren't your starting guys.
Right.
I mean, Gosselin's hitting. I mean, Jay Bruce is mostly a starter, but he's hitting.
Right.
Neil Walker, when he plays, is hitting. Adam Haseley's hitting. And these are the guys who aren't playing every day. So roster-wise, it's a weird situation.
It is funky. It is.
This will give me, to the conversation we were having, this does get me a little excited now. Because, I mean, he is their top prospect. Alec Baum is their top prospect. He is a power-hitting third, maybe sometimes first baseman. He's a monster. I think he's 6'5". He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
I mean, this is what you've been waiting for this. So this will give me something to look forward to.
Well, I appreciate that. Here's my my opinion or my thought when I hear you say that. I want to be where you are. Right now, I'm not.
That's not good.
I'm too deflated. Like, I remember, I can vividly remember when a lot of the prominent Phillies came up. I don't remember Ryan Howard. I remember him playing in a game that September when he played, you know, but I don't remember the first game he played. I don't remember Chase's first game. I know he had a grand slam in his first hit, but I don't remember the game. I remember certain pitch. I remember Randy Wolf's first game. That was kind of a big deal when he came up because they had stunk for a while, and the idea was this guy can join Schilling in a rotation, and you know, and actually, you know, I think it was going to be Schilling, him, and Paul Byrd, and like, hey, let's roll with these three guys. There's a lot of Phillies from the past I can remember their debut. This is one where with Baum, this is me, the fan, the emotional side. I'm deflated. I mean, they're 5-8. Or what are they? Yeah, 5-8.
No, they're 5-8. You're right.
I mean, that's, you know, that's not good. So anyway, look, we'll take your calls, 215-592-9494. The good news for Joe Girardi, he's got a lot of options. The bad news is you don't want to have to figure it out. You want to just know, hey, these are the guys I can count on. I'm gonna play Hoskins. I'm gonna play Kingery. You know, but it's not that simple right now because a lot of the main guys aren't hitting. Let's go to Peter in Philadelphia. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
How are you, Peter?
Doing all right. So my thought on the Phillies is, at this point, instead of a game, I'd rather watch paint dry.
Wow. Well, I'm not there, man. I'm still watching all these games. And I just know that last night, 5-8, that's the first time they're three games under 500.
They've yet to win a series.
Wow.
A series.
Wow.
And they haven't won a series yet.
Secondly, this hurts my soul to have to agree with Howard on Ben Simmons. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. He definitely needs to be traded.
I could not disagree more with Howard about that. I understand you might get more for Ben, but Ben, Joel Embiid's not going to play into his 30s. Joel Embiid,
no.
His body will not last. And
no,
for
his
all,
knees aren't going to hold up.
Ben Simmons obviously has faults or things he's unwilling to do, but Ben Simmons is a transcendent player, and you will hold out.
No, he's not.
Of course
no,
he is.
No, he's not.
Ben Simmons, if he... Let's
How
say,
many guys... I'm so sick of the term transcendent applied to NBA players. How many? Are there 27 of them? How many transcendent...
There's a couple.
How many?
In the league right now, there's probably, I don't know, I guess there's probably about 10. He has the ability to be.
Wait,
how about that? I phrase that wrong. He has the ability to be. And you know he does.
But for three years?
There's a big if. No, I remember, too. Even if, let's say, Ben Simmons never grows beyond what he is, he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day.
I've said that, and I agree with that. But that doesn't mean that's what this team.
He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There won't even be a hesitation.
But that's a low standard. That's Vlade Divac in the Hall. No, it is. I mean, it is.
I say over and over again, and I yell at Howard about this, you don't trade either of these guys. You exhaust all other options before you even consider it, because that's what you stunk for all these years for, to get players like that who have the capability to be better, to be a top-tier player in the NBA. But, no, the Sixers are not better off without Ben Simmons. That's absurd.
I think we could get something for Ben. I really do. I mean, for 3 years, and how many three-pointers has he made in the past 3 years?
Very few.
All right.
I think it's technically three, right?
I don't even know if it's three. It might be two.
It was two earlier this year, I believe, and then the third one in the first game. Or that might have been the game that didn't count.
Yeah.
So it might be.
It was against someone from the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association.
Well, no. I think, I'm just saying the first one in the reemerge a couple weeks ago. But anyway,
I think the over under on it for the year is 8.5.
Well, he's not going to do that. I mean, you know, his
100% not.
All right, Peter, give me the best movie with "The" somewhere in the title.
I'm gonna hit you guys with one, and it should be the winner, The Prestige.
Ooh, I love The Prestige.
I do too, but I mean, let's not get carried away.
That's
here.
Another Christopher Nolan great movie.
Have you? No, he hasn't. I like The Prestige.
That's a big reaction by you.
You like Christopher Nolan? Do you know who he is?
I don't.
He's mediocre. He's the guy who did Dark Knight and Batman, the director.
But he's a director, but he's done many other.
Memento, Inception.
Yeah, Interstellar.
Here's who I know. I know Lou Nolan.
Yeah, that's, I knew this was coming.
Not exactly the same.
No, Mike Nolan.
There was Mike Nolan, the old 49ers coach.
Wore the suit on the sidelines, remember
He
that?
Did. There was Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, it's the other way, though.
And then that's about it. That's what I got.
What about Nolan Patrick? Oh, come on,
Nolan
man.
Patrick.
Oh, wow.
How about that? All right, reaction on all these teams. 215-592-9494. Also, up ahead, Joe Girardi this morning on with Angelo. And there were a couple things he said that really irked me. You'll hear the interview in its entirety. And I'll tell you this. There's probably something that he said in the first, 5 seconds of being on the air that probably irked Angelo. Wait till you hear it. I swear to God, 5 seconds into the interview, I guarantee he said something that irked Angelo. What it is, you'll hear it next. The Girardi interview in its entirety with Angelo. And his answer on Hoskins. What's up with Hoskins? Hear it all next. Show to camera, John Johnson in for Richie on WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.